Merry Christmas! Și God bless you guys. Mă bucur să fiu din nou în mijlocul vostru. Mă bucur să văd pe fratele Viorel Candreanu. Am fost împreună la fratele biserică cu vreo lună și ceva în Suceava și ne-am simțit foarte bine și eu și Cristina, logonica mea, de aici, de la dumneavoastră. Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here again. I remember the first time I was here, I came for a tineret thing. Sammy called me and I had to come for a youth night, and right then I had to come late because I had a program that I had to go to for parole back then, and I had to come at 7:30. So I told this story at a testimony once and I messed it up on accident. I don't know how I skipped a major part, but I did. Sorry, but I'm going to tell it again because the real way it happened is I came through the door and I had my testimony ready, my papers, everything. I'm like, okay, you know, I'm talking about jail, prison, all these things I went through. And I walked in right through those doors, and I'm like, everybody in here was like praying and they were all older. And I was like, oh man, these guys are not going to want to hear what I'm about to say. Like, I was already starting to think like, okay, how am I going to tone this down? I gotta be careful. And then this brother came to me and he was like, hey, are you here for Tinareta? I'm like, yeah. And then he's like, they're over there. I was like, oh, good. Thank God. I was like, I didn't know. I was like, man, I gotta, you know, I'm in the wrong spot. So that's how that story went. I don't know how I skipped that part last time I said it, but I went to the Tineret. I had a good time. I share my testimony. A lot of you guys know it, and you guys know the situation. And I love the Tineret here. I know a lot of them personally. I know a lot of you guys too. And I'm getting closer and closer, like it seems like, to your church. And to Sami, you know, you guys have a good leader here that loves the Lord, prays for you guys. And I felt that, and that draws me here too. That's a big reason. I wanted to start by saying, because you guys know a lot of my testimony, I just wanted to start by saying, like, that a lot of people come up to me and they ask me, they're like, hey, Kaz, how'd you change your life? How do you stay changed? You know, I've been out of prison 2 years now. And they're like, yeah, they're like, how do you stay changed? How do you not fall back in the same traps? And the truth is, the only way you can do it is through this, through God's word. Amen. God's word is, it's life. Before this, I tried to change all the time. I was in and out of jail all the time because I was trying to do it myself. And you could only go so far by yourself. If you're trying, like, oh yeah, I got to do stuff better for the wrong reasons, like, it's only going to last so long and you're only so strong. But God is a lot stronger than, like, anything that you face, and he can deliver you from anything. So I tell people, one of the biggest verses in prison when I got to a cell, when I finally had enough of myself, I said, God, I was like, I need you. Like, I didn't listen to nobody my whole life. I was the master of my life. I did whatever I wanted, and I didn't care. But I realized that what I was doing, I was dying. I was, like, destroying my life, because that's what the devil wants to do to each one of us. And without God, if you go on your own, that's what's going to happen. And when I turned to God in that cell, I was like, God, I didn't listen to nobody my whole life. I did whatever I wanted, and I blew it. But I need you now, you know. And he came through right there. And one of the biggest verses, which means so much to me, and if you want a true life, if you want a strong life, if you want it to last, you have to live off this. Isaiah 55:10-11. It says, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. God's word has work to do. He's got work to do in each and every one of our lives. And if we don't let it in, how's it going to work? You know, like, that hit me when I read that. It was like, I'm in a jail cell. And I'm like, how in the world can God work in my life when I was never reading his word? It's so important for us to understand that and to truly open our light, our hearts to it. You know, it's the truth, and it's the only way to overcome, like, every day, all the battles and everything we go through, because it gets so crazy. Like, the devil is so sneaky. He knows how to get us with things that don't even seem sinful, but will lead to a sin, you know, will lead to a trap, you know, and he's good at that. He's better than any one of us. And the only way to do it is to obey God's word, and that's what changed my life. I always tell people, I'm like, I didn't figure out some cool, creative way to, like, stay out of trouble, you know? I didn't figure out, like, some slick way to, like, do what I want and stay. I didn't. I just became obedient to God's word. I became obedient no matter what I felt, because a lot of times I didn't feel what I was reading, but I was like, I have to believe the truth, not what I think, because what I think destroyed my life. God's word is the truth. For example, when I first started turning to God in jail, I remember the guys would be, oh, now you're going to turn to God. Now that you're locked up, you didn't do when you were free. Now you're going to turn to him. And I thought like that too. I'm like, man, when I was free, I didn't care about God. And now I'm going to turn to him. And that's how I thought. And for a little bit, it tempted me. But after a while, when I read Psalm 50:15, it says, turn to me in the day of trouble. It says, turn to me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you will glorify me. So I was like, hey, Kaz, you got to shut up. You got to listen to God, not to you, you know? So a thirst grew in me for God's word. And I'm like, man, my whole life is messed up because I don't know the truth, you know? So little by little, I just dug into God's word and I just started reading it like life. Like, I need a new mind. I need a new life. How do I get that? And the way to get your guys' greeting, 2 Corinthians 5:17, whoever's in Christ is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. The way to get that is to open your heart, truly, to open your heart and to surrender to God's word, because God's the one that loves us, not the world. The world don't care about us. God's the one that wants to bless our lives. He's the one that wants to look out for us, and he's the one that tells us, hey, watch out. The world tells you, go do whatever you want, whatever feels good, it destroys you. God don't. God's like, hey, I love you. I created you. This is what you got to do to be good. Like, I care about you. I'm the one that's trying to bring you. It became so clear to me. I'm like, man, I was falling for these traps all the time. Like from just anything, from the world. I was following all this mindset that the world gives you, and it's ridiculous. It, like, drives you to death, and the Bible tells us that. It warns us, because God loves us. He warns us about these things. So God's word is absolutely, like, the only way for you to stay changed, to become new, and to have power. There's power in God's word, and I'm going to get to that too a little bit later, because the only way I'm able to stay changed, and we're able to overcome, and he's able to deliver you from mindsets that have come into your life that are hard to get out of, certain mindsets you get into, fears you deal with, addictions, mentalities. Only God can deliver you that. I talk to a lot of people that have done drugs or alcohol, and they try to get out of it. And even in prison, I would see a lot of people, and they get off the drugs, they're sober. So physically they're sober, but their mindset is all over the place. And I tell them, you need Jesus to free you from that. He has to deliver that addictive mindset that was ingrained into you by the world, by your behavior, by the way you lived. And only he can do that. I know from experience. I tried so many times to change without him, and it doesn't last, you know. With him, he can truly deliver you, and his word promises us that. And yeah, in God's word, we have all the answers pertaining to life. You know, a lot of people are always like, God's word has all the answers. And then you always get a smart aleck that's like, well, does it tell you how to fix your motorcycle? And like, well, no, but the Bible's not about that. The Bible's about, it's about everything that we need to know pertaining to life, because God created us. He knows us. He knows what we need. He knows our desires. He put eternity in our hearts, and he knows that he's the only one that can satisfy it. And if you get everything right pertaining to life, you'll figure out the rest. You'll figure out how to fix your motorcycle and all the other stuff, you know? So, being Christmas, when Sam asked me to come over here and speak tonight, I was like, well, let me pick like a Christmas message that, you know, I like. And for me, I have one that's not your usual one, but I love all of them. There's some nice ones. One that I really liked that I didn't know till I was in prison and I read God's word is the one where Elizabeth and Mary, they're cousins, and so was John the Baptist and Jesus, they're cousins. And when they met, the moms it says the God's words. This was really interesting to me because I never heard it in my life till I was in prison reading the Bible on my own. And it says that when Mary told Elizabeth of her pregnancy with Jesus, it says that as soon as the words hit Elizabeth's ear, the child in her womb leapt for joy. And I was like, man, that's so cool. So interesting that they were babies, but they felt the Spirit was there. And they knew. They felt, you know, like they knew what was coming. They felt it in there. It was God's presence. So that was really interesting to me. And there's a lot of cool stories. But for me, what became one of my favorite Christmas stories, you can say, is it's in Titus 2:11 to 3:6. I would read it like every year for Christmas, and that's Tit 2:11 la 3:6. I'm going to read it one time all the way through, and then I'm going to go back and kind of like address the verses in particularly. But for me, it was the greatest gift. It's the best gift we could get. It solves everything. It solves all our problems. It's Jesus, the best gift. So Titus 2:11 to 3:6, it says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, waiting for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself up for us to redeem us from all lawlessness. And to purify himself, his own, to purify for himself a people for his own, a possession, who are zealous for good works. Declare these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one disregard you. Remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, to show perfect courtesy towards all people, for we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Christ Jesus our Savior." Excuse me, sorry, like this stuff means a lot to me. When I read it, it reminds me of the moments I had with God through really hard times. And it means this passage means a lot. And I know what God saved me from, and I know what he can save anyone from. And it just means so much that I'm here today and I'm able to share this with you instead of who knows where. I'm very humble to be here and grateful to God for his mercy, because he did this and he's got mercy on all of us. He loves all of us, and this is what he did for each one of us. I'm very thankful for Christmas, for all this. So the first verse I wanted to go through was verse 11, where it says, "For the grace of God has appeared to bring salvation for all people." That's such a wonderful, powerful verse. Is such a big deal, because I'm going to be honest, even after I turned to God, when I was in prison, I still had years to do. And even after I turned to him, I would sit around sometimes and I'd be like, "God, why do you even care about us?" I'd be like, "Man, we're a bunch of like worthless people." I would look at me, I would see people around me in prison, just the way they betray each other, the lies. I would see the way they treat each other, just back and forth. Everyone's lying to each other. Everyone's hating on each other. Everyone's like wishing bad on each other. And I was like, "God, why do you even care about us?" I felt like that. And I just like, I looked at me, at my life, and I'm like, I like blew my life away. I did so many, you know, dumb things. I got led astray. Like, why would you even care about us? I felt like that for a while. And I struggled a little bit with it until God spoke to me in Isaiah. And he actually addressed, one day I was reading and he addressed that to me. And it's in Isaiah 57:15. And it's a verse that really changed my heart. And even though I knew God was love and I knew and I understood that and I believed it, it's like you're still human. And you still see these things and you still wonder sometimes. And in Isaiah 57:15, God says, "For thus says the one who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place. And I also dwell with him who is of contrite and lowly spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite." When I read this, I was like, wow, God, I'm so wrong. Again, I'm thinking and not letting God's word speak for me and not letting God's word make my mind up. Again, I was thinking with my own mind. And I was so thankful for that. And I said, you know what? Even if I don't understand it, and there's so many things in the Bible that we're not going to understand, you know, and it's not for us. God is infinite and we're finite. We only understand what we can understand. He knows everything. And there's so many things that we just have to believe. We're not asked to explain every single thing in the Bible. We're not asked to have an answer for everything. We're asked to believe and to have faith in God's word. He left us his word, and this is what he decided to give us to know, and this is what we have to have faith in. So I repented of that. I said, God, I'm sorry for my doubt. I'm sorry for thinking like this. I'm sorry, and I have to trust that and live in that truth that, yes, God is high and holy, but he promises me that he also can live in a contrite heart and a lowly spirit. And a lowly spirit means being humble. It means that, you know, you're humble, you're grateful to God, you know. Doesn't mean that you're like weak or like, means humble. And then a contrite heart is a repentant heart. It's a heart that understands, hey, you know, I was lost and heading to death, and Jesus jumped in and saved me. That's a contrite heart. And yeah, for me, that was a big verse that really changed and really encouraged me. And the Bible is full of all these secrets like this, and it's full of all these promises and all these truths that will settle all these doubts in your mind. God has an answer. Like almost every doubt, every question that I dealt with, like God had an answer for, but I had to keep reading. And on the right time, God will bring out the right word for you to touch your heart, to change your heart, and to change your life continually. Because even after we turn to God, he's still got a lot of work to do with us. You know, we don't like just overnight, boom, we're done. He's got a lot of work, and little by little, these things come up. You know, we're human and we're being sanctified and we're continuing, we're growing. You know, we're battling. We go two steps forward, one back, three forward, two back. It's a constant battle, but that's why we have to put our armor on. We have to be ready with the truth. We have to be ready. We have to, in prayer and everything, in unity, you know, we have to understand this because it's real. It's a spiritual battle out there. The Bible warns us about. It's a spiritual warfare, and it's real, and you feel it. Where do you think all this crazy negative thoughts comes from? Like, why don't we get crazy good thoughts? Why do we always get negative bad thoughts? Why are we always provoked towards doing something wrong or bad or destructive? You know, that's real. That comes from somewhere, and it's a spiritual warfare that God warns us about. In verse 11, yeah, is the unexpectedly great gift from God, and I'm so thankful for it. Verse 12 says, training. It says, his words, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age. So how do we do that? Obviously, God's word teaches us that. And he uses the word training over there because it doesn't just happen. Like I said, you don't just accept the truth, accept God, and that's it. No more worries. No, it's a constant battle. Just like when you go to the gym, you're working out. You don't go one time and boom, you got your results. You have to keep going. You have to stay at it. Same thing here. It's a spiritual battle. You know, you have to stay in the word. You have to stay on top of it because Satan's always coming at you. You know, evil is always working against you. So you have to be working against it. You have to fill yourself up with God's truth, God's word, so you have something to stand up against it. Back in the day when I didn't know this truth or God, I was confused. I didn't know what to believe because I didn't know truth. If you don't know truth, you get tossed left and right. But when you know the truth, it doesn't matter what anybody says. You know what God says, and you're like, get out of here. I know what I'm doing, and I'm following God. And it's so great to put your hope in a book that is eternal. If you look at generation to generation, everybody comes with their own ideas. They come with their own mentalities, a new way of life, a new philosophy. Like, hey, we got it better. They laugh at the last generation. They laugh. They didn't know. We know. And every year, every 100 years, that changes. Everything. History proves it. But you know what doesn't change? God's word is eternal. And Isaiah 48 says, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of God stands forever. I don't know about you, but for me, it feels so good to put my faith in something that's so true, so real, so powerful, and eternal. I never have to worry about it changing on me, right? You know, with technology, it's like, as soon as you figure out you got the latest technology, boom, they come up with something new. You know, and you're like, all right, now I'm behind again. God's word's not like that. You can put your whole foundation in it and live your whole life with it, and it's going to be eternal. And it's a beautiful thing and a peaceful thing to do because it's a sure deal. You know, and it's hard nowadays to get a sure deal. So with God, it is. It takes practice, too. It takes practice to train in God's word and to stand up against all the arrows and everything that Satan's throwing at you. I know a lot of people a lot of youth that I talk to sometimes, and they're like, man, I would change, but, you know, I do good for a day or two, and then I mess up again. And then I'm like, forget it. I can't do it. It's not for me. And I'm like, no, don't think like that. I was like, listen, you keep going forward, and if you fall, if you slip, if you mess up, it doesn't matter. Let me show you what God's word says. Let me show you what God said to his people when they blew it. He didn't say, get out of here. God's not sitting here waiting for us to blow it and, like, get us out of here. If you mess up, you keep going forward. This is what God says in Samuel, 1 Samuel, chapter 12, verse 19. The people said to Samuel, pray to the Lord your God for your servants so that we will not die, for we have added to all our other sins the evil of asking for a king. Do not be afraid, Samuel replied. You have done all this evil, yet do not turn away from the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. Do not turn away after useless idols. They can do you no good, nor can they rescue you because they're useless. For the sake of his great name, the Lord will not reject his people because the Lord was pleased to make you his own. As for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you. And I will teach you the way that is good and right. But be sure to fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. Consider what great things he has done for you. Yet if you persist in doing evil, both you and your king will be swept away. Right there, God's saying, hey, doesn't matter. You blew it, you slipped, or you had a drink, or you went and did this. You looked at something you should, and you forget it. Throw it down and move forward. But God, I'm sorry. You know, I need you. I need your help. I need you to strengthen me. I need you to give me the power that you promised me. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says the weapons we fight with are not earthly weapons. On the contrary, they have divine power strengthened by God to demolish strongholds. That's a promise from God. That's a promise that whatever you're struggling with, God can destroy. He can demolish it, not just help you like manage it. He can eliminate it out of your life. And I know for a fact, because I dealt with all these things, and God slowly, step by step, eliminated them out of my life, and now I'm free from all of them. Thank God. Praise God. He did that, and he can do it for anybody, you know. And I know these things. So God's not waiting for you to mess up to give you a boot. God's not, like, worried about you not being perfect. God knows you. He created us, you know. He knows exactly how we are. And if you look through the Bible, all his holy saints and people that we look up to, they blew it big time too. Big mistakes, you know. And it's so comforting to see that because they're human just like us. And God understands that. God's goal is to rescue you, not to like put you down and give you a boot. You know, he loves us. That's why he came here. That's why he came in the first place, to save us, because he loves us. And that's his goal. His goal is to save us and to redeem us and to create us a new creation, you know, and to bless our lives and our eternity. Verse 13 says, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of the great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself up for us, redeems us from all lawlessness, and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. In my life, what that meant is we have a true hope. Like, we don't have, like, wishy-washy, like, man, I can't wait to reach this goal, and then I'm bummed out. Man, we have an eternal hope. You know, we have a hope that goes beyond just our material life and everything we see here. We have a hope that's eternal. We have a hope that we're going to see each other in heaven if we lose lost ones. We have a hope, you know, that we're going to be together. We have a hope that we're going to be happy. We have a hope that we're going to be with our Savior. The world can't offer you that. The world, you know, yeah, you can work hard, get yourself a nice Benz or something. I had that too back in the day. And guess what? I got it and I was miserable. Then I was like, oh, if I get money, then I'll be happy. Guess what? I had like 50 grand cash and didn't mean nothing. Then I said, I'll get this. And I kept getting things. And I found myself in a room full of things with the car I wanted, money, everything I needed, and miserable. That's what material things do. It's fake. It's a fake hope, you know, and it's so nice that God gives us a true hope, you know. He's the one. He loves us, gives us a true hope, and it's eternal, and you can count on it. And when you experience that love, that salvation, and that hope, it makes you eager to do good. You don't do anything like because you have to. You're not like, oh my gosh, I gotta go to church. I have to. Oh my gosh, I gotta do this. You don't do that because you have to. You enjoy. You do it because you love the Lord. You do it because you want to. You know, you want to be in the presence of your Savior. You want to do good because you died to your old self. You're free. You're free to do whatever you want. So you want to serve Him. You're not free to go jump back into like bondage. You're free to like serve Him, and it's a pleasure, and you're zealous in doing it. Chapter 3, verse 3 to 6 talks about, yeah, how God is not waiting for us to, He's not waiting to punish us. He's not sitting there, I'm going to strike you down as soon. God is understanding. He knows our situation. He created us. He knows exactly what we struggle with. He knows exactly what we're tempted with. He knows everything about each and every one of us. And He's there willing to save us. Luke 13:34. Jesus says in Luke 13:34, He says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. This is Jesus' heart. He shows us right there. How often He wanted to bless you. How often He wanted to bless me. How often He wanted to do so much for us, but we were not willing. We were holding on to our idols. We're holding on to, oh my gosh, I got to get this new car, this new job. I got to make this money. We're holding on to that, and we're not allowing Him to free us from the bondage of that and bless our lives. I pray that we do that. I pray that we understand the love that God has for us, and that we allow Him to work in our lives because He loves us. He's the one that offers us eternity. He's the one that came to save us. He's the one that cared about us enough to make sure we're saved. The world doesn't care about you. The world will lead you straight astray into problems and misery. God will lead you straight to eternity, to a true life where you and your family will be together. All of us will be together, you know, in His presence. And that's more beautiful than anything this world or anything this world can offer you, you know. And I thank God for that. I thank God for opening our eyes to it. It's a pleasure to be here together around this Christmas time and enjoy this beautiful gift of Jesus Christ that we all received. Thank you very much. God bless you guys. Merry Christmas. Thank you.